The Prime Minister Scott Morrison has confirmed there will be a feasibility study into a proposal to build a new coal-fired power station in North Queensland. The PM made the announcement today as he released a shortlist of 12 projects the government could underwrite as part of its strategy to lower power prices. Barnaby Joyce and Queensland National MPs have accused the government of abandoning coal as it seeks to shore up its vote in metropolitan centres where climate change is a key issue. So will this be enough to satisfy them all? Former Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce joins me now. Welcome to RN Drive.
Yeah, hello, Patricia. How are you? I'm calling from Idsel. Sorry about before. I was out talking to farmers out of range.
You are in central Queensland. I know you're travelling. You and your colleagues wanted a coal-fired power station. Instead, you're getting a feasibility study. Are you satisfied with that?
Well, it's a good first step. And what we really want is to, the last night on the 7:30 report on the ABC with my well-spent 8 cents a day or whatever it is, they mentioned 128,000 people have gone off the grid because they can't afford their power. That means we have people who in Dirranbandi in summer are slightly cooler than what they are on their roof, and in winter in Gyra they're slightly warmer than they would be in the frost. Now, that is completely unreasonable. That is the worst thing in a Western society, that it means we've got a complete diminution of their standard of living. It's something we should be disgusted in, and I want to get more power onto the grid so these people can get affordable power, and that in the past was coal-fired power. It's got to be baseload power. You can have nuclear, but you don't want that. You can have hydro, but you don't want that, so it's coal-fired power. And that's what we want.
I follow you on Twitter. You won't be surprised by that. And you tweeted, so we have got ourselves a coal-fired power station for Queensland. Very good.
Yeah.
But that's not right, is it?
I left out the adjective, didn't I? Feasibility. That my first report that I got, Patricia, was that they'd approved underwriting a coal-fired power station at Collinsville, and I thought, well, that is a huge step in the right direction to try and get more supply onto the grid so that we have baseload power so we can get...
But they didn't, did they? They've kicked the can down the road, in fact, and a feasibility study, we don't have any idea about when it will be ready.
You're not going to build a coal-fired power station between now and election. I acknowledge that, but you surely can get the money there so you can get the feasibility started so you're shovel-ready. And then the Labor Party can decide whether they want to help those 128,000 people who are off the grid.
Why do you say the Labor Party? Is that because you don't think you're going to win?
If they win the election, they can decide whether they're going to...
Is that because you think they're going to win the election?
Well, one of us are going to win the election, and if both sides decide they're going to build a coal-fired power station, then that's good for people who are dealing with the privations of no power. They live in the dark, and they're in our nation. We have the dearest power in the OECD. Okay. We used to have the cheapest.
All right. I'll put this scenario to you, Barnaby Joyce. What happens if the feasibility study comes back and says a new coal-fired power station is a bad idea?
Well,
Do you accept that?
I just can't believe that we don't have a... We are sending coal across thousands...
That's not the question I asked. I said if the feasibility study comes back and says a new coal-fired power station is a bad idea.
I'm giving you an answer to what I believe the feasibility study will say. Because if we are sending coal over thousands of kilometres of water to make power cheaper for other people and other nations, then I believe a feasibility will find that we can make it cheaper for our own people in our own country. That would seem completely and utterly feasible. It is ridiculous that we are having more coal-fired power stations being built in China just this year than our total power supply in Australia. It is remarkable that we have fallen for this trick, that we somehow think it is morally appropriate that 128,000 people now in Australia do not have the power on because they cannot afford it. In a country that...
Okay, so you're saying you're certain that the feasibility study will say that the government should underwrite a coal-fired power station?
Well, unless it's completely different to the Germans who are building new coal-fired power stations, to the Chinese, to the Japanese, to other people in other parts of the world building high-efficiency, low-emission coal-fired power...
But, of course, you don't know the outcome, so if it does...
Maybe we live on a unique part of the planet where we have different laws that just revolve around Australia.
So if it does come back and say there's no business case, where does that leave you?
Well, I'm going to work on the theory that in the time that we've been telling
but
the people.
But do you accept its results is what I'm asking.
We've been telling people that there's something, there's a nirvana coming for them. We're just having more and more people go off the grid who just cannot afford power. That is completely unacceptable. What is a fact, and we do know, is Australia used to have the cheapest power in the OECD. People used to be able to afford their power bills. We used to be driven by coal-fired power. Now, as we move to more and more free power, more and more people are going off the grid because more and more people can't afford their power bill.
Okay, so do you accept the results of this feasibility study, whatever it finds?
I'm going to obviously, I don't accept anything that I haven't read, Patricia. I don't know what others might do.
But it's a process. It's either you trust the process or not.
I will certainly be totally engaged with the process and very interested in their outcome. And for the purpose being not out of some sort of, you know, polite little debate amongst indolent people who can afford their power bills, but for the sake of people who cannot. And I think that's what we should be focused on, because otherwise we're just saying it is morally appropriate that I have power and other people in Australia, my own nation, don't. And that's just bad luck to them. They deserve to be poor and should remain so.
One Nation staffer James Ashby and the party's Queensland leader Steve Dixon are trying to characterise the Al Jazeera report into their efforts to get money from the NRA as political interference by a foreign government. Do you buy that?
Oh, man, it's just, he got worse tonight when I was listening to him. And this is ridiculous. We had Senator Pauline Hanson in the chamber saying she'd never accept donations from overseas. And at the same time, well, you know, these problems can be made to go away, you know. All you just need a little $10 million here, a little $20 million there, and these problems can disappear. You know, this is absurd. You can't have your senator in the chamber giving a speech that they don't believe in foreign donations while your main operatives are overseas looking for, wait for it, foreign donations. Big ones, too. Big, fat, juicy ones off the gun lobby and the Coca-Cola brothers, who, you know, okay, the old writers.
So given now these revelations are on the record and this will be broadcast tonight, should One Nation be preferenced below Labor and the Greens?
Well, that's...
In your view, Barnaby Joyce's opinion.
I go back to those 128,000 people off the grid. I'll be looking for whose intentions is best suited to looking after them.
So you've just said you're essentially outraged that One Nation officials would be going to the NRA.
That's for them. It's their fiasco that they've got to try and clean up. I mean,
it's acceptable to preference them above Labor and the Greens?
I think what they've done is a total mess. I think what they've done looks a complete and utter farce. I don't know if they've done anything illegal. They just look totally dopey, that's all.
So why would you give your preferences to a party that's dopey?
Because the Greens want to send people to jail who export thermal coal. They want to send to jail people in my electorate. They want to send to jail people in central Queensland. They want to close down the live sheep trade, close down the live cattle trade, close down our major exports.
Okay, One Nation has described Islam as a disease.
Basically turn agricultural...
One Nation, if I can politely interrupt Barnaby Joyce.
Private assets. These people, they're communists under another name.
Okay, Barnaby Joyce, One Nation has described Islam as a disease, and you think that you should be preferencing them above the Greens and Labor?
Didn't Mark Latham bring forward an Islamic candidate? Wasn't one of their candidates Islamic? That seems like another mess. It seems like two different policy positions. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they've changed their views on that.
Don't you think their rhetoric is divisive on those issues?
Many instances, their rhetoric is just plain dopey. That's about it.
Barnaby Joyce, I've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining us.
It is always a pleasure. From Idesville to you, Patricia.
Barnaby Joyce, driving in central Queensland there. Barnaby Joyce, he's, of course, the drought envoy. He was the Nationals leader. He's no longer the Nationals leader. He was Deputy Prime Minister. You know Barnaby Joyce.